The Air Force grounds 700 F-15s over concerns about structural integrity. Teledyne Continental gets a new president. And regulators meet with Bombardier over the Q400 issue. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, November 7th, 2007. What was originally a precautionary measure involving F-15s is threatening to become a crisis for Air National Guard units. The Air Force has suspended all normally scheduled operations involving F-15 Eagle fighter jets, including planned missions in Iraq and Afghanistan. The suspension affects about 700 aircraft. The Air Force halted all non-critical F-15 operations over the weekend, following the Friday crash of a Missouri Air National Guard F-15. Early reports point to in-flight structural failure. The single pilot on board was able to eject. Officials are concerned the accident points to a potential fleet-wide issue with the aging fighters. The first F-15s entered service in the mid-1970s. The C model aircraft involved in Friday's accident was built in the early 1980s. The grounding may be in effect for days or longer if aircraft inspections are deemed necessary. The Air Force has started replacement of the oldest F-15s with F-22 Raptors. So far, 97 F-22s have entered service. Congress has authorized funding for 183 Raptors. The Air Force wants 381. Teledyne Continental Motors got a new president on Monday. Rhett C. Ross has taken over the post as Brian L. Lewis prepares to retire from the company. Lewis has been with Teledyne Continental for a total of 27 years. Lewis began his career in 1972 as an engineer on the design technology staff of Pratt & Whitney, working on advanced engines for military and commercial applications and early information systems. In the decade after he joined Teledyne Continental in 1980, Lewis worked his way up to VP of Engineering, then General Manager, and finally President in 1990. Teledyne Technologies CEO Robert Mehrabian acknowledged Lewis's contribution. Quote, "Brian's innovative thinking and dedication have made Teledyne Continental Motors a premier provider of piston aircraft engines and control systems. I anticipate that Rhett will work closely with Brian to assure a smooth leadership transition for our piston engine businesses," unquote. Of new President Rhett Ross, Mehrabian said, quote, "Rhett has demonstrated strong leadership at our energy systems segment, doubling this segment's revenue over his 7-year tenure," unquote. Lewis's retirement had been rumored and will be effective on February 1st. A meeting is scheduled today between Europe's air safety regulator, Transport Canada, and Bombardier to attempt to resolve issues with the Q400 twin turboprop. There have been 3 recent incidents involving collapsing main landing gear, which resulted in a worldwide call for inspections by the manufacturer. The 3 gear collapses were the first 3 in the plane's long history, and all 3 occurred on planes operated and maintained by Scandinavian Airlines. When the first 2 cases were traced to corrosion on a bolt in the gear assembly, aviation authorities in Denmark were quick to blame the manufacturer. But other airlines reported their inspections showed nothing unusual, and now there's reported evidence implicating Scandinavian Airlines' maintenance procedures for the 3rd case. The International Herald Tribune reports the Danish Accident Investigation Board determined that part of the right main landing gear had been replaced on the 3rd aircraft 6 days before the October 16th incident using nose gear parts, which had been, quote, "reconfigured by maintenance personnel," unquote. Investigators speculate a loose rubber O-ring may have passed through the hydraulic system and eventually blocked the right main gear mechanism, which failed to extend at the time of the incident. SAS has decided to ground its entire Q400 fleet, while the rest of the world goes on flying the plane with no issues. The meeting between regulators will attempt to resolve airworthiness concerns. For the first time since the breakup of the shuttle Columbia during reentry over Texas, NASA will bring a shuttle home on a path which crosses the continental U.S. Discovery is scheduled to land at Kennedy Space Center at 1:02 p.m. today. If that schedule holds, residents along a line crossing southwest Canada, the Dakotas, Nebraska, Arkansas, and Georgia may all get to hear the distinctive twin sonic booms which accompany a shuttle's reentry and often flood 911 switchboards. Remember, too, this means there will be short-notice temporary flight restrictions popping up all along that route, and they're from 0 AGL to unlimited altitude. There will be at least 21 of them issued. If you're flying, check the FAA's TFR website for details. That site is www.tfr.faa.gov. but there's a disclaimer that even it may not be current. Which is just swell, since there are no guarantees Lockheed Martin will get it right if you call flight service either. That's the bad news. The good news is, most of the country will have fine weather for taking air-to-air photos of F-16s. Up next on ANN, three small towns get kicked out of the Essential Air Service Program. EADS changes its 2007 forecast from profit to loss. And another good reason not to look at porn on your computer at work. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 7th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. When the airline industry was deregulated in 1978, the Essential Air Service Program was supposed to guarantee small communities deemed unprofitable for the airlines to serve some basic level of continued access to air travel. Now, 3 decades later, the federal government has had enough of subsidizing empty planes and is starting to trim the fat. Predictably, it's proving a difficult adjustment for some communities. The Associated Press reports that Hagerstown, Maryland, population 39,000, was one of 3 cities dropped from the program October 1st. The airport just finished a $62 million runway improvement project. Like Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and Brookings, South Dakota, Hagerstown was dropped because of its proximity to larger cities served by the airlines. The irony of the new 7,000-foot runway at Hagerstown may be short-lived. Even if federal lawmakers are unsuccessful in fighting for a return of the federal pork, Hagerstown Regional Airport Manager Carolyn Motz thinks the airport may be okay. She says the new runway may allow the airport to attract airline service without federal subsidies. Quote, "I think it's going to be sooner than a lot of people think," unquote. By the way, EAS subsidies range from $13 to $677 per passenger. No wonder they could afford to fly mostly empty planes. EADS announced on Monday it's abandoning its previous profit forecast for the year. The stock dropped 5.1% after the company announced the forecast profit will be replaced with a loss of as much as €1 billion due to, believe it or not, another Airbus development delay, this time the A400M military transport. As ANN reported, EADS announced on October 17th that deliveries of the 4-engine turboprop, intended as a competitor to and replacement for the aging Lockheed Martin C-130, would be delayed as much as 6 months. EADS also confirmed reports that EPI, an engine consortium that includes Rolls-Royce and companies from France, Germany, and Italy, was behind in work on the TPM-400 turboprop engine that will power the A400M. The news is especially disappointing after the Airbus A380 finally started deliveries to customers, and the A350 XWB airliner appeared to be back on track. Analysts say the A350 is now threatened by the need to pull engineering, research, and other resources off the 350 project to rescue the 400M. EADS will issue a revised profit forecast with its third quarter numbers due out on Thursday. Boeing announced on Tuesday it has completed firm configuration of the 747-8 Intercontinental. That means it's finished the major trade studies needed to finalize the airplane's performance and interior features. Michael Teal, who's deputy chief project engineer for the 747 program, says the plane will offer improved economics and environmental performance compared to the 747-400. Quote, "We have designed the 747-8 Intercontinental to be the ideal airplane for serving the 400 to 500 seat market between the 777 and the A380. It also will feature a new interior that will increase passenger appeal and create a strong and very favorable first impression, unquote. Among the features of those new interiors will be windows as big as those on the 777 and larger than those on the 747-400. The Intercontinental will be stretched 18 feet longer than the 400 to provide 467 seats in a three-class configuration and a range of over 8,000 nautical miles. First deliveries are scheduled for late 2010. Peter Murnan lost his job as chief financial officer for Mesa Air Group on Tuesday. He'd been on leave since September and was a key figure in recent legal proceedings against Mesa by Hawaiian Airlines. As ANN reported last week, U.S. Bankruptcy Court Judge Robert Ferris ruled that Mesa used confidential information gained during its due diligence in seeking to buy Hawaiian to launch its own GO regional airline in Hawaii. Mesa was ordered to pay $80 million in damages. Mesa says it plans to appeal that verdict. Judge Ferris also determined that Murnane destroyed the very records that would have shown Mesa used data it obtained through unscrupulous means. The Honolulu Advertiser quotes Mesa as responding that Murnane intended only to delete porn from his work computers. The paper couldn't reach Murnane, but his attorney, Brooke Hart, called the events unfortunate and added that Murnane regrets his actions. Still ahead, Cessna delivers the first European-certified Mustang. A historic T-38 makes its last landing. And an attempt to honor a World War II aviator goes awry. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, November 7th, 2007. I'm Paul Platt. Cessna tells ANN it recently delivered the first Citation Mustang, certified by the European Aviation Safety Agency, to Danish entrepreneur and longtime Cessna customer Jorgen Andersen. The aircraft will be privately owned and operated by Andersen and his company, JAI. Andersen previously owned a Citation 501. He's been flying jets for 10 years. Quote, "I am delighted. It is a wonderfully designed aircraft and is ideal for my frequent trips around Europe and the United States, as I live in California for half the year," unquote. As ANN reported, the Citation Mustang became the first of a new category of entry-level jets to achieve full-type certification by both the FAA in September of 2006 and by EASA this past May 21st. The sixth-place Mustang has a top speed of 340 knots true, a range of 1,150 nautical miles, and a service ceiling of 41,000 feet. Cessna reports more than 400 orders and has delivered 36 Mustangs so far from its plant in Independence, Kansas, since deliveries began earlier this year. Cessna says it's on track to deliver 44 aircraft in 2007 and 150 Mustangs per year by 2009. The first production-spec Northrop Grumman T-38 trainer delivered to the Air Force in 1961 arrived at Los Angeles International Airport on Monday, making its last landing ever. 1,187 T-38s were built between 1959 and 1972. The Air Force says the supersonic trainer, fondly called the White Rocket, was used to train 80,000 pilots over the years. The plane that landed Monday at LAX has spent the last 16 years in use by NASA to train shuttle pilots and is headed for the Flight Path Learning Center and Museum, housed in the old LAX terminal building. Northrop Grumman's George Vartoulakis says the design has aged well. Quote, "They continue to be among the safest, most reliable, and highest performing supersonic aircraft in service today," unquote. A new wing design is in production now and being retrofitted to the entire fleet. That update is expected to keep T-38s on the job until 2040. 80-year-old Bill Burns of Stockton, California, piloted a P-38 in World War II. It was nicknamed the San Joaquin Siren and turned out to be one tough bird. Burns flew 104 combat and 6 weather missions during the war, mostly stationed in Chittagong, Burma, which is now called Myanmar. He's the last of the 32 original pilots assigned to that special squadron. Only 4 of them survived the war. Behrens was shot down once, but made a safe belly landing on a road. His plane finally met its demise when he let someone else fly it to pick up rations from a Chinese airbase. Model maker Greg Zola consulted Behrens on his creation of a 1/5 scale model of the San Joaquin Siren. After 3 years of work, he invited Behrens to see its first flight this past Sunday. Behrens called it an honor, but the model turned out to be much shorter-lived than its namesake. The Stockton Record reports the fighter circled the airfield 3 times, passing lower each time so spectators could get a better look. Then, on final approach, Zola and another modeler watching agree. Zola let his landing speed get too low for conditions. The plane was caught in a crosswind, drifted to the right, then slammed its left wing into the tarmac. The wing shattered and the plane tumbled to a stop. There's no word yet on how severe the damage is or whether Zola will rebuild. And finally, at least one former airline pilot knows for sure the TSA's no-fly list is a crock. He knows because he's on the list. KUSA Television in Colorado was doing a story featuring people who find themselves on the no-fly list when they ran across the case of Robert Campbell. He served as a Navy pilot in Vietnam and recently retired after 22 years flying with an airline. Quote, "The fact is, I'm authorized by the TSA to fly the airplane and ride the jump seat on air carriers. But if I want to ride in the back, I'm on the no-fly list. I've talked to everybody under the sun, my congressman, my union, union legal people, the airlines, my chief pilot. Nobody seems to be able to get me off the no-fly list," unquote. Campbell has filled out the correct forms to get on another list, which the TSA calls its expedited no-fly list clearance. But he still has to go through extra security screenings every time he flies. Which begs the question, if TSA has an expedited list for people on the no-fly list, why not just take them off all the lists completely? Campbell is not amused with the TSA. Quote, "It's a lot of show and glitz and stuff, but it's not really effective," unquote. And that's the latest from Aero News. No, there's no punchline. I'm not even sure that story's funny anymore. Anyway, if you need more show and glitz in your day, check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Mike Adamson of the Aircraft Electronics Association. We'll talk about the scholarships available next school year from AEA for avionics students. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.